99.3 Nigeria in Port Lagos. A very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning. We started this journey since 5 a.m. And for those who joined our conversation since 5 a.m., you know that it's been from one heated conversation to another. It's been quite educative and quite informative as well. I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can watch us live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info 99.3 as well. You can watch live right now because we're about to have one of those conversations that you can't have enough of because of their relevance to our everyday life. You know, every Thursday we discuss health and health related matters, and today we want to talk about brain drain in the health sector. I have joining me in the studio right now Dr. Alera Roberts. She's the second vice chairman, Association of Public Health Physicians of Nigeria Lagos chapter. Dr. Roberts, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Sherry, for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
All right. So you can join the conversation. If you are a healthcare professional and you want to jackpot, please, you can call us and tell us why you would like to jackpot and what's pushing you to want to jackpot as well. Because we want to try and look at all of these areas. Why healthcare workers, like I said earlier in the morning, not just the doctors, not the nurses alone. There are other areas of the health sector that are in high demand, in high demand everywhere else in the world. And almost everybody is looking to get out of this country at this point in time. So when they all go, what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to me? And that's why we've tagged this conversation, brain drain in the health sector. There's been a reported massive brain drain in the Nigerian health sector in recent years, as many medical doctors are reportedly leaving the country daily, even though federal government is saying there is no deficit of doctors in this country to serve the over 200 million population that we've got. According to report, Nigeria produces 1,600 doctors every year. That's 1,600. And 1,200 are leaving the country. This is according to Ekpe Phillips, the chairman of the Nigerian Medical Association, Abuja branch. That was back in 2018. Definitely numbers would have gone up. He said, and I quote, "It is estimated that at least 12 Nigerian doctors leave the shores of this country to practice overseas weekly." 2 days ago, Tuesday, 23rd of August, during a media conference in Abuja, the Minister of Health, Dr. Osage Haniri, demystifies. I'm not sure that's what to use. Well, this is what he said. He said, and I quote, "There are actually enough doctors in the system because we are producing up to 2,000 or 3,000 doctors every year in the country. And the number living is less than 1,000. That's according to the Minister of Health, Osage Haniri. I'm going to start with Dr. Roberts on this one. What's your reaction to this?
This is a family program. Let's leave my reaction out of it right now. Let's just talk about the numbers. Because I really don't think...
I had to put you, you know...
You did put me on the spot, Sheriff. I was warned, but I didn't expect that. So, shall we just stick with the numbers?
You're not going to respond to the
Absolutely
minister.
Absolutely not. Not on a family program. Maybe if it's a late night show and the children are in bed, perhaps I will be...
Because of some of the words you would have loved to use.
They're at the tip of my tongue, don't tempt me. So, back to the numbers.
Yes, please.
Let's bear in mind that, first of all, those numbers are grossly, grossly exaggerated. Bearing in mind that this year, we may not graduate any doctors at all. ASUU strike, remember? Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Very good.
That's right.
Not only are we not graduating doctors, we're not graduating pharmacists, we're not graduating nurses, we're not graduating physiotherapists. We're not graduating medical lab scientists. That's an awful lot of nots that's going to happen to the health sector. And that's just for 2021, 2022 session. So I really, really want to know where he's getting those numbers from. Clearly, not from the Nigeria you and I are both sitting in.
What are the implications of these not graduating?
Let's be very honest. I will advise anybody right now, do not get sick. That's another not. Not permitted. You cannot get ill, cannot have a road traffic accident, cannot even have a kitchen accident. Don't fall in the bathroom. And please don't have a stroke. That stopped the laughter pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not funny.
No, it's not funny anymore. Because while you may be safe, you're suddenly thinking, oh my goodness, mom's hypertensive and dad's diabetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the reality. Yeah. That's what we're seeing every day in the hospital.
Talking about seeing every day, so how bad is the situation in terms of manpower at the hospital?
Where I work, very, very bad. Very, very bad. I was just talking to a colleague of mine who's in physiotherapy, and for the size of hospital that we have, not for Lagos State, not for the population of Lagos State, just for the size of hospital that we have, we need 78 physiotherapists. We have 11.
Oh, wow.
8 of whom are very, very senior, and 3 are not so senior. So we're very top heavy and grossly understaffed. As in grossly understaffed. And when you think that in a day, we get, I was talking to other colleagues in the, and we see 40 new cases of cancer in a week.
40?
New cases. We're not counting the ones who coming for follow-up. That tells you how many nurses we don't have, how many pharmacists we don't have, because oncological care, chemotherapy requires very, very skilled pharmacists.
That's right.
How many histopathologists we don't have, how many medical lab scientists we don't have. That's just the hospital I work in. These are just people I was talking to, like I say, corridor conversations. So I really want to know where the Minister of Health is getting his numbers from, because this is Lagos.
This is scary. Let's talk about you know, what's causing these shortages. What are the immediate or remote causes of why healthcare workers are leaving the shores of this country?
Well, to be honest, it's not a new phenomenon. Healthcare workers have been leaving since I was in medical school, even before I graduated, quite a few. But, you know, you would find that in any given year from, say, 1982 graduation onwards, maybe a quarter or a third of the class relocated abroad because the particular thing they wanted to specialize in wasn't available in country. And gradually that has grown to a quarter or a third remaining behind and two-thirds to three-quarters being out of the country, to now an almost total exodus of certainly the physicians and even medical students passing the qualifying exams even before they pass their final medicine exams in this country, you know. But that's been for many, 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 many reasons. Funnily enough, not actually related to remuneration, because if you ask, apart from maybe the US, doctors don't earn a lot. They have a very good quality of life, but in terms of making money, like say the lawyers or businessmen or oil magnates, no. But the truth of the matter is, nobody goes in to read medicine to get rich. If you want to get rich, please, anywhere in the world, don't bother doing medicine. The work is too hard, the sleep is too poor, and the money you're paid just isn't worth it. So you're going into medicine because altruistically you want to be a doctor or a nurse or a healthcare worker. So that's on the one side. So invariably you find that people are not leaving just because of the money. But people are leaving because, you know, these are a culmination of several conversations I've had. I'm now quite senior in the profession. I train a lot of registrars, and therefore I mentor a lot of younger colleagues. And, you know, there's one corridor conversation that comes to me, and this young lady had just about finished her specialization exams, and I'm like, oh, good, so are you going to apply for the job here? No, auntie. Oh, what's happening? And this is, we're talking, we're in about the December period after Christmas, before the new year. And she said the amount of money she had to pay in school fees for two of the three children that she has was more than the cost of flight tickets for the whole family to go to Canada.
Oh.
And her husband had gotten a position in Canada, and it looked good for them. And in Canada, education, quality education is free. And so they really did talk about it and realized that, no, they did need to, because the school fees for them would have been unsustainable. And this was in the school she had attended as a child. That just stopped me absolutely dead in my tracks. Another conversation I've had, you know, one of the young, in the triage, in the, you know, when you come into accident and emergency, you're triaged by the doctors there, and they try to decide how much of an emergency you have, because we have a critical shortage of bed spaces. You know, and one of them standing there, and he says, "Ma, how do you think I feel? The patient has made it to the door of accident and emergency." So number one, there's an accident and emergency. It's equipped. It's staffed. He has seen the doctor. He's, the doctor is standing there in the doorway of accident and emergency. And the doctor is unable to help that patient. That he felt such a fraud. And that no amount of money the patient had or that he was paid was going to enable him to help that patient, because the wherewithal, the resources, were simply not there. Systemic failure. He said, "Why am I standing here? Why am I giving the patients false hope that they are going to be helped?" Those are conversations that are repeated day after day, in place after place. So, Honorable Commissioner of Health, where are your numbers coming from?
Is there any stopping when we talk about exodus of health workers? I mean, if we're to do anything to prevent people from traveling, like you said, it's not a new thing anyway, so...
No, I don't think... There's no stopping the exodus. What we are looking at, and this was a conversation we had at the all recently concluded All Fellows Congress that we had about a week ago, you know, in Lagos. What we are looking at is how to attract trained specialists back.
To bring them back.
Now, bringing them back means that they've achieved their aspirational goals, their career aspirations. You know, they've gotten their training. They've seen what it's like. They've worked in, you know, better equipped places. They've made the networks, most importantly. They've gotten the contacts. And everybody, I mean, East West home is best. So they want to come home. Can we make an enabling environment such that they are ready to come back? They can come back on a short-term basis. They can come back on a medium to long-term basis. They can relocate back.
Turn the brain drain to brain gain.
Turning the brain drain to brain gain. And, you know, we did come up with several possibilities, several options and strategies that can be, that are actually working, only in very small numbers. And what we need to do is, you know, scale them up. But definitely it can be done, because even part of our specialist training in Nigeria included a year out. And it's not unique to Nigeria. I mean, I know Australians go to the UK and British go to the US or to the Canada just to be on the cutting edge of development. So that is not new. So part of our specialist training did include that year abroad, you know, to allow us to see and work in other places and get the advantage of all the technology, and then you came back. And so having young doctors go out, you know, for a period of time and come back is good for us. It means we then have them exposed to the latest cutting edge technology, strategies, processes, systems, everything. And it's good all round.
In the area of, let's say we even want to, you know, follow that plan of turning brain drain into brain gain, how about infrastructure? I mean, what's going to support them to making sure that they have that environment, that atmosphere, that facility that they need to actually practice what they must have
Well, that's the enabling environment we're talking about. And like I said, I mean, I can name quite a few examples, except that I don't want to be accused of advertising on air. But when you think about it, even in Lagos and in Abuja, I think in Borno has one, and Kaduna has got a couple. You know, you have people who are setting up that.
Oh, yes. I know a couple.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and all we need to do is to scale up. I mean, we've got, I know the CBN at one time was speaking about a loan to health facilities to upgrade them and sustain, you know, to be able to recruit and retain quality staff.
Right.
So these are opportunities that exist. The issue now is that nobody trusts the government. This particular administration has ruined all political credit and goodwill that they could possibly ever have had. So it's going to be something that is going to be private sector led. And the question everybody then has is, oh, so how do the masses afford it?
Yeah.
But there are so many innovative funding and financing solutions that can be brought into play, you know, and the opportunities do exist, because in the midst of chaos, you always get new opportunities.
Mm.
So in a way, it is, I don't know, paradoxically, I would say it's kind of good that this situation has developed, because it has opened everybody's eyes to the need to be collectively responsible for the governance you're living under.
My major challenge here is even the political wheel, how government themselves put their own what do they call it now? Political optics first before the reality on ground. The Minister of Labour and Employment once said that we have enough doctors now, we even export them out. Now we have the Minister of Health himself almost repeating the same thing. It's almost looking like, look, forget it. Nothing is going to come from the public sector in this case. That is scary, because quite a number of people depend on public health facilities. You know what, Dr. Roberts, let's head out. Let's take this break. When we return from this break, we'll talk some more, and we'll have the public weigh in on our conversation this morning. Stay with us, Lagos. We'll be right back. It's Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire. Brain drain in the health sector. It's a topic that has been with us, maybe will be with us for some time, and it's a huge concern that we should have. We can't have enough of, you know, this kind of conversation, because they determine whether we live or whether we die. That's how important this is. I'm Sherif Quadri. You can watch us live right now on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also send us your thoughts via our website, nigeriainfo.fm. There's a chat room on the website, nigeriainfo.fm. Let me know what you think as well. Our WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. On WhatsApp, that is 0809-597-5805. On WhatsApp. We'll be taking your calls right now, and that we're using 0700-993-993-993. That is 0700-993-993-993. If you are a healthcare worker, would love to hear from you as well. What is it like going to work? How are you coping? What's your plans? You have plans to jackpot? Why do you want to jackpot? Or why are you still here? Those feedback would love to know. Okay, and please, when you're calling, turn down the volume of your radio. You know, the interference can be really uncomfortable, because we have this headphone, you know, strap on our heads, and when this interference, when they come, it messes up with our eardrums. Please, let's be guided when you're calling. So I'm going to start right now with some calls, then I'll come to Dr. Robert in a moment. Good morning to you. Okay, that individual is gone. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. That's gone as well. Let me take another one. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning, are you here? I'm going to go now. Okay, let me go. It says, though, you're not ready. Let's take this one. Good morning to you. Good morning. Oh, that's gone. So we have a caller on the line. His name is Emmanuel. We're going to speak with Emmanuel right quickly. Emmanuel, hi. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sheriff.
Yes, please. Good morning to you.
Thank you for the job you are doing.
Thank you.
God bless your station.
You too.
Yeah, I just tuned in now, and I heard what we're talking about. It is a very, very serious situation that we are in this country.
Hmm.
You know, one day you will hear that we are out of it. Of course, in reality, we are not. I remember that this banditry, insecurity, and the rest. The other time, you know, we were told that they have been technically defeated. But till now, we are still in it. And Mirafa came on this station to tell us that the new strategy is to become bandits. And we can see that it's happening now. What Aman said, I have the video on my phone. It's happening. The same thing with this.
Let's stick to the topic, if you don't mind, Emmanuel.
What is it?
Let's stick to the topic, if you don't mind.
Yes, I'm just using that to buttress my point before coming to the main point.
Let's come to it.
The point remains that we are short of staff in the medical sector, as it were. You know, people that have gone to General Hospital and some other hospitals, a colleague of mine complained that many people had to see only one man. And the person was looking frail because the person had to attend to many people at a time. That means we are short of staff in those areas. And they are still coming out to tell us that we have too much of them there. I don't understand what you mean by that.
Right. Thank you, Manu, for calling. Let's take this one. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to your guest.
Good morning, how are you?
You're welcome.
I'm calling from Orile Egum.
Let's hear you.
You see, my take on this issue of these doctors and the most important thing is not even about the salary itself. That is the challenge. The atmosphere in which these people work is not conducive. Now, if we are going to get it right, we need to begin to work on the policies. It's very important. Sheriff, I pray every day that nobody should sit and visit any of these government hospitals. You will see one person attending to so many people. And at the end of the day, the person will not be able to give you proper attention. To the point that is why sometimes, I don't even blame them, some of them even have to give some kind of prescription that is not even normal. And you now ask yourself, how come a doctor did it? Why wouldn't he make mistake? Is he a machine? The man has been working from morning to... I remember the last one at one of the hospitals in Apapa. The man was eating, was attending to us.
Yeah.
May God save this nation. Thank you. God
he was
bless
eating me. While he was attending to patients.
I'm sure that was late in the afternoon too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No time for break. Nothing. No because breaks. patients are there.
How can you take a break when you've got a waiting room full of patients who've been there since 7 o'clock in the morning? Is it conscionable? So you'll have a packet of biscuits. I mean, I confess, I have sweets in my bag that to keep me going.
The crowd is just overwhelming.
It is.
How about tools to work with? How about
that's
you know, equipment?
A totally different thing. So at least if you can sort out the number of patients, you can sort out by listening to them and writing a prescription and asking them to go and do laboratory investigations, you would at least have cleared a good deal of your patient load. And you know, I sit here, everybody knows that my favorite soapbox is primary education and primary health care. But we've got a huge challenge in the primary health care sector because again we've lost staff. We've lost staff. And if we're talking about doctors leaving, nobody is actually counting how many. For every doctor that leaves, easily 10 nurses go.
Oh, whoa.
That is, you see, our bigger problem is the nurses. The number of nurses we have lost. I can quote this because the youth management had talked about it in public. But we've got a new ICU, intensive care unit, 30 beds that we can't open because we can't staff.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And people forget that after 5 years of basic nursing, you need to do your post-basic nursing qualifications in theater nursing, intensive care nursing, ophthalmic nursing, pediatric nursing, oncology nursing, orthopedic, whatever specialty. So each medical specialty has a corresponding nursing specialty. You don't buy that quality of nurse out of a supermarket. We train them. They need to be trained. But if we cannot pay them and retain them, mommy, they're all going. Do you know how much nurses are better paid than doctors in the US?
I heard that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that.
Oh, yeah. And if you're a mother and you've got three children approaching secondary school, you're not going to wear a red mini skirt on Adeola Odeku to pay their fees. No. You're going to practice your profession.
Right.
Where you can make the money that pays their fees so that your children too can aspire to be doctors and nurses.
For every doctor?
10.
10
I'm
nurses.
Probably being conservative in my estimate.
No, I'm just hearing of that right now. And
you cannot run a hospital without nursing staff. I don't care how many doctors you have in that hospital. Be they all consultants, specialists, neurosurgeons, call them anything you want. We cannot do an operation if we cannot guarantee the post-op nursing care. People forget. We're not paying attention to that. And that post-op nursing care can make the difference. Have you ever heard the saying, the operation was successful, the patient died?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's where your specialist nurses come in. They make the difference.
And we're losing them in their tens.
Oh, by my word. My word.
Ah, this is bigger than I thought. Let me take a few more calls, yeah? Good morning to you. Okay, that caller is coming. I'm gonna take some messages here on our live stream on YouTube. So I'm seeing some healthcare workers who are watching online and they're saying that they would like to contribute from the UK, from America. Please, you can call in via our Skype. Our Skype ID is Nigeria Info FM. On Skype, would like to speak to you as well, okay? Nigeria Info FM, that's a Skype ID. Once you call in, I would be able to speak with you, okay? Let's see who is here. Good morning to you. The person is gone. Let's see if we've got another caller here. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Yeah. Is that Sheriff?
Yes, please.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to your guest, too.
Good morning. How are you?
Yes, I really believe that your guest is on the right side. I do visit Lasuit, Lagos State University Teaching Hospital, every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And what is on ground there confirms what your guest is saying. You know that I've been referred to a department, orologist or something like that, department, since 2 weeks ago. And what I was told there was that to drop my letter, that I'll be giving a call before I come in for treatment. Since 2 weeks, I have not had a call.
Oh.
So you see that there is really shortage of manpower. Now, if there is what I'm experiencing is close to death, it means one will go before help will come. The government and the ministers should get to the hospitals and ascertain what is really on ground so that they will give us accurate information. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you so much, sir, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Sherry. Good
yes,
morning.
Please.
Good morning to your guest as well.
Good morning. How are you?
Very fine. For some reason, this conversation touches me personally, because I have been at Lutz since 3 a.m.
Oh.
And you can imagine they're trying, but you can tell that they are understaffed. You can tell that the shortage is not the fault of the staff members, the way they are behaving. You can tell, because they are overworked.
Under pressure.
I just left Lutz now since 3 a.m., and I just got a bed space. For my dad. So you can just imagine what is going on in this country. People need help. Thank you very much.
I feel really, 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 really sad. George is on Skype. George, how are you doing?
Hello, hi, good morning.
Good morning to you. Where are you calling us from?
Yeah, my name is George. I'm calling from the UK.
You're welcome.
Yeah, hi. I'd just like to contribute to, I've been following the program since morning. Honestly, it's a very terrible situation we find ourselves in. And I think what we need to start looking at now is solutions. I'm a medical doctor as well. I left Nigeria last year. And I was the last to actually leave amongst most of my colleagues. A lot of them left 2-3 years ago. Different countries, Saudi Arabia, UK, Australia, even African countries. I have colleagues in Namibia and Botswana. So it's not just Europe and
those
America.
Those are the new elite sites to go to.
Yeah, so it's I mean, it's very, very, I don't even know what to, Lagos is even still better. Even as bad as, you should go to some states in the middle belt. The entire state, you will not find more than 120 doctors for the entire state. Some states of 5 million population, some states of 6 million population. It is not bad. And like my colleague there said, corresponding number of nurses living is mind-boggling. So the one that the minister was saying, I don't know where he got his own figures from. I don't know where he got it, but what the reality on ground is that it's something that needs to be urgently looked into. And like he said also, it's not about money. It's not about looking for money. It's just the conduciveness of the place, equipment, facilities. Also, it used to be very difficult getting into residency training, things like that. So it's not encouraging, to be honest. So it's not about looking for money as a doctor anywhere, you only be comfortable. That's just it. It's not about you want to be a millionaire or something. So we need to start talking about solutions. Anyway, that's my contribution.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much for calling us. Appreciate it. I really do. George, who called from the UK. Like I said, if you're outside the country and you're listening in right now and you'd like to talk to us, feel free to call our Skype ID, Nigeria Info FM. I would be glad to speak. If you're here as well, please call our number, 0700-993-993-993. Dr. Roberts, let me come to you. George says something about solution. You've said, you've mentioned, you know, brain gain. But then we have other issues that we need to settle first before we can say people should come back home. What would you think would we should focus on first, you know, before we say people should start coming back home?
The truth of the matter, we really do need to change our country from inside out and from the top down. And what we do need to do is take hold of our collective responsibility in doing that. So, I mean, I preach this gospel unashamedly. Who is your local government chairman? Is he or she doing well? Are you keeping them, making them accountable to what they're doing? Who's the MOH, the Medical Officer of Health, in the primary healthcare center near your house? Are they doing well? Are they open? Are they working? Are they equipped? What can we do? Because at the end of the day, I mean, you're here at work and imagine you've got a young child at home and the nanny calls you and says, oh, you know, little Femi is running a fever. Ideally, you should be able to say, oh, take him to the clinic down the road, because PHCs are supposed to be within 5 kilometers of every resident, every community person. Take him to the primary healthcare center down the road and let them take a look at him and so on. Can you do that? You know, these are questions that we need to ask ourselves. There's nobody going to come with a magic wand and suddenly make us a high-income country. It's not going to happen. Even the high-income countries are facing issues of their own. But we need to hold each other and our governments accountable, and our governments start from our local governments. We need to hold them accountable. They need to know that even if they are governor-appointed, they are not just there to remit money to a certain private account, or to load up a bullion van to go to a certain address. No, that's not what they're there to do. And if they're not going to do the work, we're going to make things very, very, very uncomfortable for them. I like to remind my local government chairman, I know where your children go to school. So do not come and say such and such a thing cannot be done. I'm very proud of mine, actually, because the other day I was passing on a road and, you know, refuse had covered half the road and it was causing a traffic obstruction. And I just took a photograph and sent it to the medical officer of health of the primary healthcare center. And I said, pass this on to the environmental health officers. Within 6 hours, it was cleared.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes, it was cleared within 6 hours. Because we also have to remember that they're human. If the report isn't given to them, they don't know where to go. once they got the report, they mobilized and that thing.
Citizens action.
This is it. But I mean, I was stuck in the traffic and I was worried. It was getting to evening. If area boys decided to attack me in my car, I'm a sitting duck. Why is there traffic? Oh, is that the reason why there's traffic? What is refuse doing blocking half the road? This is Lagos. I mean, I'm not talking about Middle Belt states. I really do feel so sorry for them. But right now in Lagos, we have no excuse. We have the systems and the structures for it to work. We just need to make sure they are held accountable. Not only was it cleared within 6 hours, I got a thank you letter.
Oh.
Yes. Like I said, nobody wakes up in the morning and goes to work and says, oh, today I want to do a bad job. Nobody does that. Everybody gets up in the morning and wants to go out and do the very best job they can do. So whatever help we can give each other to make sure we can all do the very best job we're doing, we should do so.
Talking about that, what would you tell a healthcare worker now trying to jackpot? I mean...
Where do you want me to sign?
Excuse me?
Where do you want me to sign? Because that's what they come to me for. Ma'am, can you sign my letter? Ma'am, can you write my reference letter? I write it in a heartbeat. I have a template for them. I have nothing to offer them here. I'm not paying school fees anymore. At least not yet anymore.
No, it's not anymore. It's
not anymore.
Not anymore.
Well, at the rate at which we're going in this country, I may be having to assist the children pay my grandchildren's school fees. But what can we offer them? What can I truthfully say to a young registrar, a young doctor who wants to enter the specialist program? Oh, come, there's space here, we'll take you. Well, now there's space here, we'll take you. Because others who have started have decided it's not worth it. They go through all the rigors of training. They go through all the... Have you ever had to read for those exams, Sherif? I look at those exams and I shudder and I'm the examiner, not the examinee. You understand what I'm saying? And then for what? To start giving excuses when patients need my help? I can show you my chats group with the Servicom team. You know, a chap who has been admitted for 2 weeks awaiting surgery and surgery hasn't been carried out. Is it because the surgeon is not available? The surgeon is available, anesthetist is available. The nurses are available. But then we are looking at space. We're looking at oxygen. We're looking at lab results, reagents for lab results.
Oh.
Systemic failures. That's what we're looking at. Until suddenly all the systemic failures align and we have a perfect storm. How do you explain? Because you see, the problem is for the patient, it's 100% disaster. No health minister should come and say, well, case for fatality was only 3%. For the three people in 100 that lose their lives to systemic failure, it's 100% loss. That's what we forget. That's what we're not thinking about. Do you know? Let me just chip this in.
Yeah.
Count the things in the health sector that we need in the health sector that are produced and manufactured in Nigeria. Start. I need to set up an IV line. Is it the cannula? Is it the giving set? Or maybe the cotton wool and the sanitizer? Is it the plaster? What about the fluid? Or the drugs? Which one? How many of them are we producing within this country? That's why I used to laugh when I would be on this COVID conversation and they say, why can't we make the vaccine in Nigeria? I say, are we succeeding with paracetamol?
Dr. Adera, we have to go.
It's been nice being here.
It's been nice having you here.
That's Alera. I'm so troublesome.
Yeah, no, you know. That's Alera. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. That's our show today. I mean, I will go and watch this show again on YouTube. I have to watch it again. She is the second vice chairman, Association of Public Health Physicians of Nigeria, Lagos chapter. Thank you again for coming through, ma'am.
And thank you so much for having me.
I'm Sherif.
Up with my trouble.
gave you the audacity? I say, what gave you the temerity?
Oga contractor, why all this big grammar today?
Don't mind this yeye site manager. I tell him, say, from now on, he must wait for me.